Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. الله أكبر الله.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, may the peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa Jumu'ah Mubarak and a blessed day of gathering. Amma ba'd, a'uzu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bell. نقذف بالحق على باطل على باطل فيدمغوه فإذا هو زحيق. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of this is, nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood and it knocks out its brains, and behold, falsehood is ever perishing. A hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, say, from the time of the creation of Adam until the hour begins, there will never be a bigger creation than the Dajjal. Alhamdulillah, Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we continue our subject and frankly, this particular verse as an inset part of the whole subject of the science of truth and reality is actually the last core verse that was my plan to include in it. However, that last core verse is another, how do you say, large Broadway, large roadway, large ocean, and mashallah, Allahu alam, it will go where it goes by Allah's design, inshallah, it be so. So, in any case, we are at the point where we would identify this as the last core verse, which is being used to amplify points that are made in the four key verses for the whole subject, which were and are 2, 255, Surah Al-Baqarah, the chapter, 2, 255, 56, 57, 58, that is 2, 255 through 258. And all of the series, this being the 29th, all of these series have been unpacking each of those verses by the grace of Allah with what is relevant to the subject that we're able to bring to it. But we know that the Quran is a universe in and of itself. So we say what Allah blesses us to say, and inshallah, it'll be a benefit. So this Quran, that is the chapter that brings us this question, and that is on Surat Al-Anbiya 21. It says, "Nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood, and it knocks out its brain." So the first and immediate, Sadaqullah al-Azim, the first and immediate allusion that comes from this verse is an allusion. When we say allusion, I know we will continue, and we do, an important part of this subject is illusions. You have illusions, and now what I'm expressing now is allusion, meaning it's alluding to something, right? We know the hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that says at the throne is the trust of the Quran with its implicit and explicit meaning and the womb. So this allusion, by that we mean implications of this verse. So one of the immediate implications of this verse, especially drawn to the context of the science of truth and reality, immediate allusions of this is to David and Goliath. It's to David and Goliath. So why would that be an allusion? Why would that be the first of those allusions? And that is that the Quran is a continuation, a correction, commentary, as well as a completion of previous scriptures. That is the nature of the Quran. It is a continuation, it is a correction, it is a commentary, and it is a completion of previous scriptures. And a part of what we have to do, and we're very comfortable and happy when we can do it, is make very clear, direct connections, not just allusions, but some very explicit connections that strengthen our reading of it. So what's another report that strengthens that allusion to David and Goliath and the justification for it? First, as we said, the Quran is a correction, a completion, a continuation, and a commentary on previous scripture. How do we justify that? Well, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the likeness of all the prophets is that of one man who built a building. Each one of them brings something to the structure, and people go around it saying how beautiful it is and how perfect it would be, but for the absence of one brick. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I am the last of the prophets. I am that brick. So the work of the prophets is like the work of one man. The structure that's spoken of in the building, which you should understand, is a very natural allusion to the Kaaba itself and what it actually means for human development, the human destiny, human life on this earth, the Kaaba. So then one of the first that you should have in mind when you think about that, well, who is the one man who built the building? Notwithstanding the questions about Ismail and Ibrahim raising the foundation of the house, et cetera, et cetera. All of that, yes, has its application and its implication. The first reference, it would go to Abraham, one man who built the building. And then, of course, you have to then begin to think about the black stone, the Hajarat al-Aswad. And you have to think about the history of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he, after the reconstruction of the Kaaba before he was a prophet, the reconstruction of the Kaaba after it had been brought down by a flash flood, and when the argument came up as to who would put the black stone in its place, they, quote-unquote, they were gamblers, so they made a bet at that time or made an agreement based on their own modes of superstition, saying, well, whoever comes through the archway first, they'll be the one to make the decision. And who came through? El-Amin, which is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who had earned the reputation of being so trustworthy that he's known as El-Amin. That's his quote-unquote nickname among them. And so his trustworthiness was well established. Well, in that particular instance was an explicit case where he took the black stone and put the black stone in its place. That in reflection of his place in the scheme of revelation, in the plan of God, in the history of man, actually fulfilling the hadith that we just reported. So the point is that all of these prophets who brought scriptures, they brought those scriptures, and those scriptures were part of one construction. So they had a symmetry, and they have a symmetry, and they have a relationship. And each one, as it follows the other, brings something to it. The Quran, the last revelation, the Quran brings correction to the previous revelation. It brings clarity to the previous revelation. It brings commentary of the previous. They are not broken from each other. You remember when Prophet Muhammad, who now is Prophet Muhammad, after the Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, the first of those revelations, at that point, though, he didn't even know that he was a prophet. His wife Khadija, radiallahu anha, took him to her cousin, Waraka bin Nufail, and explained the experience that he had had, and because Waraka was someone who was learned and studied in scripture, was able to make the connection between what had happened to Muhammad in what we know today to be Jabal Nur, receiving that revelation, the first of them, and then coming down with it. And so the fact is that the continuity between previous revelation, the truth of previous revelation, and the final revelation of the Quran, it's something that is a part of the entire mission of revelation on earth. It's not that we don't just read the Quran and say everything and only those things that are found explicitly and explicitly concretely in the Quran. Those are the only things that have value. All previous scriptures irrelevant. All previous scriptures disconnected. All previous scripture has no use, no value. Wrong. The Quran is a continuation, a completion, a commentary, a correction of previous revelation. And since it is, as the report says, that the Quran has its implicit and explicit meaning, then we hear and see something in the Quran, and then we should be listening. We should be listening. Allah says of the believers are those who seek to hear the word and follow the best meaning in it, right? So you listen to what's being said. Okay. What does that sound like? Truth hits falsehood in the head and knocks out its brain. What does that sound like in previous scripture? Well, it should automatically, if you have any relationship with scripture at all, the first place that your mind should go is Goliath, David and Goliath. Now, the hadith that we read, is just one of many that relate to the Dajjal, right? And it's the idea of the bigness of Dajjal is also connected with the bigness of Goliath. Goliath is said to be very big. I'll put this on the side, in the margins. The verse is 21:18. The verse is 21:18. 21 is what? That's 3 7. 18 is what? 3 6s. Part of you might say, and I would understand it if he says, like, well, you may think that that's not relevant, but that is absolutely relevant, right? Without even talking about, we live in a culture that say the women are mature at 18 and men are mature at 21. That is telling us something. Symbolism. That's telling us something from that. So you get the 666. Well, what's better than 666 is 777. But when you understand both of them together, you got something. But that would be a digression for today. The idea is that the David and Goliath connection is also connected to Dajjal. So the idea of how big Dajjal is also connected with that quality in Goliath. And then speaking of the sound of words, the English word, which is the world dominant language, the English word is Goliath. Goliath, just separate it. Goliath. Take the TH out of it, it's just a suffix. Goliath. Just Goliath. So so who is the Dajjal? The Dajjal is a big lie. You listen to what I'm saying. Turn it around when I say that. So if you read it the wrong way, you say, or if you grasp it the wrong way, you say, okay, he said the Dajjal is a big lie. Then you would read it mistakenly to say there's no such thing as Dajjal, or the Dajjal is itself false, right? No. The Dajjal is a big lie, okay? So you find a big lie, then you're right in the yard with the Dajjal. And the biggest threat, the biggest problem, the greatest undermining force in the life of man, yes, is the Dajjal. But mashallah, Allahu A'lam, and only Allah knows the perfect knowledge and understanding of it. And the whole Dajjal it's one of the sidelights. It's not central to the life of a Muslim living his life out as a servant of Allah subhanahu. Yes, it's very important. But the point is that there are those who take it where they're going looking geographically, archaeologically, historically. Yes, I've heard those hadith. I've read those hadith. I've recorded them. I've archived them, etc. Yes, those things have been said, but you have to understand, and Allah knows best. You have to understand the idea of abstracts. You have to understand those things that reach us through these revealed and inspired. When I say revealed, of course, the Quran. Inspired, you have the reports of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the rules that have been accepted by us to say that it's valid under this case, that case. Okay, alhamdulillah. All of that. Even when you get to that fact, even when you come to that conclusion, you still have to decide and come to an understanding and grasp, okay, what does it mean for me right here, right now, where I live, where I exist, not in the thousand years before, nor in the idea of after I die, or at the very presence of some physical judgment day that's coming. Not to say that certainly it is, but the question of that being the only place that this information relates, that's what we're pointing to as the mistake. If you only apply it to way back then, or if you only apply it to way out there, well, then you're missing right now what is it? So what is this value to me right now? What's this value to me right now? Is the value only to tell me to be good? yeah, you got to be a Muslim because the judgment is coming. You got to watch out for your sins. I'm not mocking that. How can I? What I'm saying is, well, the Jews tell us that. The Christians tell us that. Even the Buddhists tell us that. Secular humanists actually tell us the idea that of why you need to be good for utilitarian and practical purposes. So all of this doesn't mean any more than that? No, that's enough of them. That's as much as I'm going to say about that. The idea is that if you understand that Goliath is a personification and an abstraction of a lie in the nature of lies. There are things that we have here. In fact, of the Kaaba, instead of the Kaaba, there's a perfect Kaaba in the highest heaven that is a reflection of the Kaaba that's on earth. The reflection of the Kaaba that is on earth. Things that we see in the world, that we experience in the world, they are reflections of perfections. Listen, they are reflections of perfection. Take, for example, you draw a circle. You draw a circle. Just do the best you can with your hand, not with any kind of machine. Either. You draw a circle. And then if you draw it, and then you ask me, well, what is that? That's a circle, all right? That's a circle. But if you were to measure that hand-drawn circle, would it, quote-unquote, be perfect in the definition that is said a circle is an equivalent line surrounding a center point? It's a line that's equidistant from a center point. So it's the circle is still called a line, but it's a line that has every point on it is equidistant from a central point. The only message to be said of that is this. Is that what we do and what we see on earth, what we see concretely, what we see actually, what we experience of abstracts, they are the imperfections of it. But the perfection of it does exist, but it exists in a realm beyond our physical condition, beyond our physical condition. Okay, so what does that say about the idea about these falsehoods and the idea about lies? The lies. Lies are, well, bad, as obvious as that. But here's something to think about. There are some lies, and there are some liars that are liars, and they are bad liars. There are some bad liars. They lie. They don't lie too good. They don't lie too good. Their lies are imperfect. And the imperfection of their lies is what opens it up for easy destruction. Oh, that's a lie. Look, how can that be true if bang? That's it. Like Abraham alayhi salatu wasalam in the fundamental verse that we have been using, 2:258, he said, you know, the Nimrod claiming I'm God. Abraham already know that's a lie. That's a lie. Right? So then Abraham gives him one. He causes life, he causes death. God causes life. I thought it's the one who makes the sun rise from the east, bring it up from the west. End of story. Right? Because he's lying, but that lie has no means of survival because it is a weak lie and it is dispelled with just one statement. All right. So in terms of the epitome of lies, the personification of lies, an abstract representation of lies, right? This is important. I say this because I have to take a step back. I want you to come right with me. You remember when we started early on talking about this, I said if I asked a first grade child, for example, to draw a house, you can go to a kindergarten classroom and on some of our refrigerators, our children and grandchildren have drawn pictures and you have those pictures on the refrigerator, on the room's wall, and it says, what is it? This is a house. This is a house. And you know all the elements that would need to be put together in one surface in order to represent a house, right? You have the triangle, you have the square, and it's set in a certain way, and you say, what is this? It's, anybody who looks at it, generally speaking, would say, that's a house, right? But then the question becomes, is that really a house? No, it's not really a house, but it has the fundamental attributes that could draw from someone raised in that kind of environment to say, oh, yeah, that's a house. Well, why do you say that? Because it has all the fundamental attributes of what we understand in our experience to be houses or to be a house. All right. So what is that house in reality? That house is an abstract of a house. House is actually something else. But a picture of a house is an abstract of the house. All right. So you get pictures just to convey a meaning for what they stand for, a meaning of what they stand for. You could draw a dog, you could draw a family, you could draw a tree in the same way that you drew that house. And someone who knows about that context, they'll be, oh, that's a dog, that's a family, that's a tree, that's a house. But then you go back and ask about any of them, is that really a family? Is that really a house? Is that really a dog? Is that really a tree? No, it's not. But what are they? They are personifications. They are abstractions that represent something else. All right. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, he explains to us that scripture uses figurative speech and figurative expression to address things that are scientific, actual, and very real. So we're giving these abstracts, sometimes it's just the words, and sometimes it is a personification, it's the image of something. It could be a person or a thing, et cetera, but the point is, it is an abstraction. It is figurative speech. It is figurative expression. All right, well, Goliath, figurative expression of the perfect lie. All right? Figurative is a figurative expression of lie, of the lie as defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so while he represents a big lie, all other lies are little Goliaths, let's call it. They're just little lies, but they are little lies that come from the nature of lies. I think about Cain and Abel. Right? That's the biblical picture. The Quran just talks about them as the two brothers. But Cain is identified in both those stories essentially as the first murderer, the first murderer. So Cain is the epitome of murder. How many murders have happened since Cain? All kinds of murders. Same way with falsehood, same way with lies. Those lies, the first liar, quote, Iblis, who would become Shaitan, first liar. That's coming later. But you can look at it. I want you to understand that the ultimate murderer model was Cain, right? And God made it such that to kill one is like killing the whole people. So each one represents everyone, right? Okay, that same thing applies to the falsehood that Iblis was the first of the liars as Shaitan now because he failed to or refused to bow to Adam as Allah had ordered him. And then just right off the bat, he just starts lying. God says, why did you not submit when I told you to bow? He said, I'm better than him. That's a lie. That's a lie. I'm better than him. You made me from fire. You made him from clay. That's a lie. So that's the first lie that's told. And then it goes further, and we're going to come to, inshallah, we'll come to that part of that story because it is very much connected. But he said, because you have put me in the wrong. That's another lie. He said, God, because you did this, I didn't do that to you. You did this to yourself. right? But it's another lie. Who is it coming from? Again, going back to the biblical Quranic connection where it says that, where we've said that the Quran is a completion, a correction, a commentary of the Quran, or about the Quran. I know I missed one, but we're moving on. Where Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when they said that we be the children of Abraham, then Jesus said, no. If you're the children of Abraham, you love me, but I'm telling you the truth and you want to kill me. I know who your father is. You are of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning and abode not in truth. And he's a liar and the father of it. Okay? The father of it. So all of this goes back to that, to see and understand Shaitan, that language that we use, Satan, as we use. There's a reality. Yes, there's a reality. The value of having and holding that reality, alhamdulillah, it is that. That reality, however, is in its essence, in the power and the will and the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is truly with Allah. But there's something that happens in my life that is from Shaitan. What we are told, fight the works and fight the friends of Shaitan, because his cunning, his strategy, qayda, his strategy is weak, da'ifa. It is weak. And again, really, you have to understand that, okay, how does that emits from Shaitan's work, his lies, his falsehood, how does it affect me? It affects me through my weaknesses. It is empowered through my weaknesses. So there are lies, and let's go ahead and say it, there are contemporary lies. There are lies in our three-dimensional space and time, and there's the nature of lies in our space and time. And there are things that have happened through lies. I'm talking about lies that have been, well, I guess you got to say it, that have been institutionalized, right? We have institutional lies, okay? And those institutional lies have been, language, instantiated, meaning that whole worlds have been built out of the fabric of lies. These are institutional lies. So now you don't have to keep pumping on that, institutional racism. That's just one of the lies. Racism is just one of the lies. It's a big lie now. No doubt about it. We're going to get to it, inshallah. Just hang on to that. I think that's worth holding on to. Just that, okay, institutional lies. And it's also there in the idea of rational lies. It's a big deal. Rational lies. They're lies, but they sound good. They're lies, but it sounds good. That makes sense. And if you, in your weakness of mind, don't have the ability to see past the illusion that is cast by the lie itself, and there you go. And see, that's also very much in the Dajjal scenario as well. Yeah, I kept some notes, but I'm going to dig down in a little further than I expected to go right in. But we'll say it anyway. Alhamdulillah. So we're talking about if you're weak, weak how? You don't know how to think. What do you mean you don't know how to think? Meaning that, listen, there are some people who are skilled at lying. I mean, that is their bread and butter. The boogeyman. This is politics. Just think in terms of politics. Look up this video called The Boogeyman. And it's talking about one of the political advisors, one of the ex-presidents. You'll find it. That was his business. His business was lying. and he has fun at lying. He entertains it. That's why it's called The Boogeyman. But you look for that. Now let's go to this being weak-minded, because that is also the answer in all that we've been saying in all of these series. you're going to have to strengthen. You have to get like Abraham. You have to be able, you have to become a person of rational faith, and you have to have the ability, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be able to see through the illusions that are cast by people who are skilled at creating illusions. Let's read this hadith and then we'll go back to some other matters here. It says, this is a report that says, it's narrated by Imran ibn Hussein. Imran, yeah, he's the same one that mentioned the other one that we read. Imran ibn Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, whoever hears of the Dajjal, let him keep far from him. Let him keep far from him. For a man will come to him and think that he is telling the truth because of the wonders that are sent with him. And there's another report that we'll have to get to later. Where is that? The one will come. No, here it is. Imran again, Ibn Hussein, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who hear about the Dajjal should stay away from him. See, this is the warning. This is the advice. This is the nasiha when it comes to matters that are lies. If you have a sense of something that's a very powerful, strong lie, you know, one part of it, unless that is the skill set that you are really qualified more so for, and you have prepared yourself to enter into the challenges that confronting that lie is going to set before you. If you're not really skilled at untangling those kind of big lies, I'm just getting there for no entertainment. It ain't entertainment. It's a problem, right? But if you go in there with the wrong heart, wrong mind, and unprepared, you might not come out as a believer. You might not come out as at all. Wallahi. So it's saying, so this report it says that a person will approach him. I can see someone being arrogant that way. I got this. A person will approach him thinking him to be a believer. Seeing his amazing feats, he will become his follower. That means that the liar is so skilled at presenting himself as a truthful believer, but you approach because you may have had some doubts, or you were told that this person is a liar, this person is a deceiver, this person is a Dajjal, or whatever. And then, well, let me go see hey, hold on. If you're not really equipped for dealing with strong liars, you best to stay away, because you will wind up, if you're in that state, you will wind up being their follower. Wallahi, wallahi, may Allah protect us. وَرَبَّنَا أَتِيَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come, and save us from the chastisement of the fire. Amen. Allahumma amin. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. So the idea of how big the Dajjal is, we're inviting you to focus on Dajjal as a personification, as an abstract, as figurative speech and figurative expression telling us about the nature of falsehood. So they are representing, he and it, Goliath included, are representing the personification and the epitome of falsehood and lies. Falsehood and lies. Right? Allah projects the truth. But the potential in human beings for lying was the human possibility. He wasn't created for lies. He was created for truth. But he was created with rational freedom. which meant that he could accept, face, project, promote the truth, or he could do otherwise. That's what Allah has established as sacred for the human being. So the Dajjal, in our representation here, the Dajjal and the Goliath are representative of the epitome of those who have chosen the latter, that is, not truth, but falsehood. And also, of speaking of Iblis, of Iblis and Shaitan, etc., by his rejection, he became the first of the kafirs. He became the first of the kafirs. He became the first of the rejectors. He became the first. So he also is the epitome, abstract, the personification of kafir. Okay? All right. So that means every other kafir is an expression, an emanation of the original kafir, Shaitan. Okay? So it is with liars. All liars are just projection and models and examples and expressions from the original liar. And the biggest lie and lying as a force in creation, impacting the life of human beings, is personified as Goliath and personified in the reports as a Dajjal, and Allah knows best. So when Allah says we hurl truth against falsehood and it knocks out its brain, then what did we see? We saw in the previous scripture, and while the same detail is not given in the Quran, in that sense, one reason is like, okay, it's not necessary. You can go somewhere else to get the details. If you don't believe that this is the truth, Allah says in the Quran, then refer to those who receive scripture before you, back to the one man who built the building, the symmetry between scriptures, and all the other things that we've said so far. So here's a statement from the first Samuel 17:48-49. It says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slaying it," that's their word in the way it's translated in the Bible, "and slaying it and smote the Philistine in his forehead so much that the stone sunk into his forehead to the earth." That's 1 Samuel 17:48-49. Why is it important that the stone, you go back and get the rest of the story, the other things to be said. The stone, where the stone hit him, it didn't hit him in the eye, didn't hit him in the mouth, didn't hit him in the heart, didn't hit him in the leg, didn't hit him in the foot, it hit him in the forehead. And then it's mentioned twice, in the forehead, right? What is that? That's the place of thinking. That's the place of reasoning. That's the place of planning. That's the place of strategizing. So the lie has a motive. The liar has a motive. The liar has a plan. The liar has a strategy. And if you don't understand, if your logic cannot penetrate, it said it sunk into his forehead. It didn't just stay on the surface. It sunk into his forehead. So if you don't have the logic to be able to penetrate the strategy, the planning, the reasoning, the way of thinking, the motivation, the objectives that have been structured by the promoter of falsehood, then you'll likely get defeated. So you have to discover that source that makes their lie so convincing. You need to know what that is. And you will not necessarily find it in what the liar itself is actually saying. You focus on just what the liar is saying, then that might be the distraction itself. Sometimes the lie is in what's not being said. I could be wrong on this, but just ask yourself this question. I could be wrong. Admit that up front. But how many people have survived after getting positive COVID tests? And what does it really mean? So-and-so tested positive. Now, talk about illusions. Now, what does that allude to? You know, I could be wrong. But, you know, most times in the previous 10, 15 years, I'm talking about, man, I tested positive. What does that mean? Okay, then you don't change the language. You bring it over to current time. Yeah, so-and-so tested positive. 1,000 people tested. 10,000 people tested positive. If you still have that old paradigm of testing positive in your mind, what kind of illusion is being built up in your head about the world we're living in? And what's the value and the power of building up that kind of illusion in the minds? I could be wrong. But that being said, okay, so there's been XYZ deaths. Okay, granted that. Point is, how often are we told, yeah, there's so many people who have survived just naturally? They had it was exposed, they were exposed to it, and they just went on living. I don't know. Maybe by not telling you how many people proportionately are surviving, maybe there's some other strategy. I could be wrong. Maybe there's some other strategy. Maybe I don't want you to know. Maybe there's somebody that don't want you to know that 97% of the people who have been exposed to it survived. Is that the truth? Or is that not the truth? Where do you go to find that out? How available is that information to the public in general? What is on the mainstream to say this is the case regarding this pandemic? Is there anybody saying anything else? How often are they heard from? Hello, Anna. You know, I could be wrong. So the idea is that lying is not always saying something that is not true. It also includes not saying something that is true when you could say that is true in the matter under question. Okay? So, yeah. So Goliath is a personification of the nature of falsehood, as is Iblis. Right? And we mentioned about this story among the angels. Yes, there's so much. So we'll conclude with this portion. So we talked about the illusions, right? And my last comments to you are really, as the Quran and the reports of the Prophet are telling us, don't get, listen, I can't remember what it was that I was listening to the other day, but it was just really just another case in point. And that is, you can listen to positions that people are taking on whatever matter. It can be a political matter. Oh, I was listening to a religious program. And in listening to this religious program, this person was, you know, giving their reading of history in the Old Testament and this and that. And it's fine. And, you know, I'm listening to it. And, of course, I'm thinking about how many things I actually know. Listen to what I'm saying. I didn't know. He's making reference to this and that scripture and this and that verse, et cetera, and this and that source, that religious source. And then, so left alone, just standing back, just from a material, formal point of view, you have to say, this person knows what he's talking about, right? You said, this person knows what he's talking about. But in the little bit of hearing that I have in that regard, for which I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I could hear throughout his presentation so many presumptions, so many assumptions, so many unproven pretexts And but if you don't even have the wherewithal to be able to challenge that in a way, well, then it's like the hadith of the prophet said, you have to stay away from that. Because you go in there, you think you're arguing for your way of life. You think you're arguing for your religion against somebody who you can tell by the way that they're presenting themselves is like, okay, this person has been skilled in what they are skilled in, and they are strong in delivering and representing what they are representing. Now, unless that's your kind of fight, you need to stay away from that. Because you go up in there trying to argue with somebody just because, oh, man, that old Yahudi or that old Nasara, that old Christian or that old Kufar, I got this. You go up in there, man, you might come out there with a cross on your neck, man. I'm just, mashallah, Allah, Allah. So the point is that if that's not really where you are, stay away from it. Stay away from it. And the idea is that their power is in the ability to cast the illusion of truth. Right? God says, an expression of it in Surah Al-An'am, the 6th chapter in the 112th verse, says, likewise did we make for every messenger an enemy, evil ones among jinn and men, inspiring each other with flowery discourses by way of deception. If your Lord had so planned, they would not have done it. So leave them and their inventions alone. So here's another place in the Quran that's telling us, don't get involved in those, I'm going to call them, high-level arguments with people who their whole life, and maybe they come from a generation of people who have been tutored to be able to keep the shine on a historic lie. That's they have been trained to keep the shine on a historic lie and do it well. And then you want to come up against them, and that's not your strong suit. That's not how you've been groomed, how you've been raised, what you have qualified yourself for. God is telling you, these lies are powerful. Stay away from those lies, because their strength is in your weakness. So this is a gift, and this is also a part of what will hurt us. This is the arrogance that comes as a result of a little bit of what we think we know, and we can be so full with it that we think that we can challenge anything because I'm carrying the truth from God. Well, inshallah. But if you carry the truth from God, if you follow the guidance of God, then there's some things that God's telling you, don't mess with that. Don't mess with that. The Quran is telling you that. The Hadith is telling you that. But of course, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared you very explicitly for the thing that He will send you up against, yes, Allah will say, this is your charge. This is your response. Like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, you've been qualified for that. And this is why you have to seek. Okay, God, what have you created me for? Allah, what is it that I should be doing? Allah, what is my purpose in life, and how do I serve you in reality, and how do I accomplish with my life what you created me for? That's what you have to seek. So then in that way, with Allah's help and guidance, you will only give yourself with full force and rationality to that you have the clear sense that Allah has given that to you as a purpose, as a cause, as an obligation, as a responsibility with your life. And we should all seek that. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. All we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. We pray for your aid. We pray for your protection. We pray for your guidance. We pray for your blessings. We pray for your purification. We pray that you would humble us in the presence of your reality in such a way that your power and your will can emanate through us and can affect the world and can move the world away from the darknesses that it is under and to help bring the world to come into the light that you have revealed. Oh Allah, bless us to find our purpose in your will. Oh Allah, show us the distinction between what you will for us and what we will for ourselves. We beg this of you only, for we desire not to be misguided. We desire not to be deluded. We desire not to be distracted. We desire not to be destroyed by ourselves or by the hands of others. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. A couple of announcements and then we pray, inshallah. All right. So, the Zoom class, Zoom class for, there's a 5-week Ramadan class that's being operated on Zoom. Sheikh Abdul Rauf is conducting it, and that's from 9 to 1 p.m. Mondays at 7 p.m. There's the Ramadan class, and also the Arabic class on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1. Okay, Saturday, Arabic class, 9 to 1, Sheikh Abdul Rauf. The Ramadan class, Monday, 7 p.m., same number, 7 p.m. So that's the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, 22nd, and 29th. All right. The NAS Children's Program continues Tuesdays and Saturdays for ages 6 to 13. Also, the NAS Youth Business Loan Program is also available, looking for sponsors, and 9 to 18-year-olds can apply for business loans. Also, Dr. Shoaib Peters should be contacted for both of those programs. It's mshspeters@gmail.com, and donations are being sought, and you can make those through Master War Thing. Happy birthday to Zarina El-Amin Majid. Alhamdulillah, to Imani Alameen, and also to Shamsuddin Nasir. Happy birthday. Also today, from 68, Women of Master War Theme, your monthly conference call is on. And tomorrow, Men's Group, second Saturday, your conference call is up tomorrow as well. Remember, brothers and sisters, spring forward. That is, daylight saving time starts at 2 a.m. Sunday morning, so make the adjustments to your clock. Forward by 1 hour, and Jumu'ah will start 1 hour later here, so that means 1:30 or thereabouts here at Masjid Wadeen in Oakland, alhamdulillah. Also, there are 31 days until Ramadan, inshallah. We look forward to that. So also, corporate members, Masjid Wadeen, you have a Zoom call tomorrow at 4 p.m., and inshallah, all the login information will be emailed to you tomorrow. Alhamdulillah, also, we want to keep the Coffee family in our prayers, and also Abdul Malik Salahuddin, he's also recuperating and readjusting from an injury himself, and inshallah, I heard from him yesterday, and he's doing better. But the Coffee family there, Sub Mikhail, Brother Charles, there's things happening there in the family, and also Maurice, as well as daughter, broken leg, I believe, and also they're experiencing flu-like symptoms. I think that's part of the language, but with severity. So, inshallah, we want to keep them in our dua, and anyone we left off that list, Allah is never absent at any time or place. Wa akim as-salat.
All
لا إله إلا الله تعالى محمد رسول الله استوى استكم يرحمكم الله وتابكم الله. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل قيدهم في ضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله
أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
ربنا ولك الحمد.
الله أكبر.
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 السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله تقبل الله.
آمين.
بسم الله.